If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, as we continue in our series, Why? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul writes, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time of the year. I just thank you for the Lenten season, the reminder, Lord, the incredible thing you did when you died on the cross for our sins. And just ask, Lord, you would give us an appreciation this morning for what you did after you died on the cross. You were buried in that tomb and what that means for us today. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Joseph of Arimathea, a righteous member of the council who had not consented to this deed, obtained permission from Pontius Pilate to lay Jesus' body in a tomb before the Sabbath commenced at sundown.
Forgive us. We are following the body of our Lord.
All are welcome. But come, the Sabbath is approaching.
That clip was taken from the classic movie Jesus of Nazareth, showing Jesus being buried in the tomb after he died on the cross on the first Good Friday. But the question is, folks, why was he buried? Jesus buried in the tomb is mentioned in all four Gospels. The Apostles' Creed said that Jesus was dead and buried. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, one of the great truths of the gospel, critical part of the gospel, is the fact that Jesus was buried. But the question is, why? As long as Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for our sin, why in the name of Bartholomew P. Throckmorton does it matter what they did with his body? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a really short series for Lent, just called Why? Simply looking at why Jesus suffered and died and rose again from the dead. Last week, we looked at why Jesus died on the cross and everything that was necessary for us to be saved by Jesus. But today, we look at why Jesus was buried in the tomb, something absolutely critical for us to be living for Jesus. And to see that, we turn this morning to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. In this part of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is telling us Christians about the life that we have in Jesus Christ. And because our life in Christ is totally based on everything that Jesus did for us, Colossians 3 here says, when Jesus was raised, we were raised with him. When Jesus died, we died with him. And after Jesus died, he was buried, which means we Christians were buried too, right along with it. Our text this morning, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, tells us three simple reasons why Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. Let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus was buried in the tomb, is so that we could be buried with him. Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb because Jesus Christ really died. And Christians, we died with him. Paul says here in verse 3, we died with Christ. And I know there's somebody thinking, Kevin, why didn't Jesus just come back to life right after he died on the cross at 3 p.m.? Would have saved everybody from buying all that Easter candy. Well, I'll tell you what. Jesus didn't do that because if Jesus had done that, people would have claimed that he never really died in the first place. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23, if Jesus really hadn't died, then our sin would never really have been paid for. Folks, on that cross, Jesus didn't just pass out or go into shock or slip into a coma. Jesus really bit the bullet and kicked the bucket and assumed room temperature and shuffled off the mortal coil. Jesus really died. And the biggest proof that Jesus really died is that Jesus was buried. Because if Jesus wasn't really dead, his friends would have never buried him alive. Otherwise, friends like that, who needs enemies? The reason Jesus was buried is so that his body would be accounted for. Now, most of the criminals crucified by the Romans were left so their bodies rotted away on the cross. Or they were thrown into Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom, the garbage dump in the city of Jerusalem, where they either burned up or were eaten by wild dogs. But the Jewish leaders thought the disciples might steal Jesus' body. So if Jesus' body had just rotted away or been turned into dog chow, there'd have been no habeas corpus to point to, and the disciples would have been forever accused of pulling off the biggest scam since Oprah Winfrey running for president. So God had two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the Sanhedrin, go to Pilate and ask permission to take Jesus' body and bury it in a tomb. So Jesus' body would be accounted for. The reason Jesus was buried is so that the resurrection would be validated. If Jesus was going to rise from the dead, there had to be some tomb somewhere for him to rise up out of. Now, most Jews back in Jesus' day when they died were just buried in regular graves. But the richer Jews had tombs that were carved out of rock that had some kind of hinges and doors on the entrance. But the really rich Rockefeller Jews, like Joseph of Arimathea, had brand new Cadillac tombs with round stones that rolled in a trench to seal off the front. Jewish law said that when a Jew was crucified, he had to be buried on the same day he was crucified and when he died. Otherwise, there would be a curse on the entire land and everybody in it. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. And because Jesus died just 3 hours before the start of the Sabbath, Joseph and Nicodemus had to work like crazy. So there was no funeral, no flowers, no bagpipes, no ham sandwiches or three bean salad. And they didn't bury Jesus with a cell phone either so he could call them later. Like the Jews did with everybody, they washed Jesus' body. They trimmed his hair and his nails. They wrapped his body with strips of cloth that was covered with spices and myrrh. They put a separate cloth over his head, and then they stuck him in Joseph's new tomb. John chapter 19, verses 38 to 42. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 66 says that the Romans sealed that tomb, which means the Roman soldiers went inside that tomb to inspect it, to make sure that Jesus' body was actually in there before they ever put Pontius Pilate's seal on the outside. So Joseph, Nicodemus, their servants, the women, and the Roman soldiers all knew Jesus' body was in that tomb, and they also knew which tomb that it was. The burial of Jesus Christ validates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus was buried is because Jesus really died. And verse 3 here tells us all of us Christians really died with him. Last January the 4th, at a Costco in Santa Clarita, California, a woman actually had the gall to try to return a Christmas tree that she had bought there that past December the 10th. And she was demanding a full refund because the tree was dead. Well, yeah, a fresh cut Christmas tree back on December the 10th. Now it's January the 4th, 10 days after Christmas. The tree is supposed to be dead. And Christians, we're supposed to be dead too. The very nanosecond we get saved and come to Christ. Something called representative unity, which means since we are in Christ, we do everything with Jesus that he did 2,000 years ago. When Jesus died, we died too. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We were crucified with Christ. When Jesus was buried, we were buried with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried with Christ into death. The picture you see on the screen there, next slide, is Kevin Garner when he was 18 years old back in 1981. And 3 years after that, July 21st, 1984, I prayed to receive Christ and got saved. So the person you see there on the screen died with Christ and no longer exists. Now, I still have his same name and the same social security number and that same dumb, confused look on his face. But Kevin Garner really doesn't exist anymore because it's Jesus Christ who lives inside of me. And Christians, exactly the same thing is true for every single one of you. And because of that, verse 3, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And that word hidden in the Greek is the same word our English word crypt comes from. So what that verse is saying is that we have really been buried with Christ. We have a hidden life buried with Christ. And because of that, the world does not understand our Christian life at all. And the world doesn't have a clue what it is that really makes us tick. A week ago last Monday night, on American Idol, judges Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan and Katy Perry, who will forever be known for that song, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, were auditioning even more singers for a chance to go to Hollywood. And one of the contestants was a 19-year-old guy named Benjamin Glaze from Enid, Oklahoma, trying to make it to the big time. And when the judges asked him basic questions about his life, Luke Bryan asked him, did you ever kiss a girl and like it? And then this is what happened.
Have you kissed a girl and liked it?
No, I've never been in a relationship.
Really?
I can't kiss a girl without being in a relationship.
Come here, buddy.
Wait, hold on.
Come here.
Come on.
Come here right now.
Come here. What, on the cheek?
Mm-hmm. He didn't even make the smush sound.
Let me start over.
Oh! Oh, he went down!
Oh.
Did you get
him? Katie!
Come on!
Now, Katy Perry tricked him and turned her head and surprised him with a wet one. Now, normal 19-year-old guys would kill to get a kiss from Katy Perry and they'd put it all over Twitter. But not Benjamin Glaze. See, Benjamin Glaze is a born-again Christian. And he is so committed to Christ and so serious about keeping that part of a physical relationship with a woman special, he had committed himself to never kissing a woman on the lips until the wedding ceremony when he married her. Benjamin Glaze even has a girlfriend now that he has never kissed on the lips yet. And after the show was over, when Benjamin Glaze was asked about that kiss from Katy Perry, he said this, that kiss really made me uncomfortable. And not because it was like sexual harassment or anything, but because as a Christian, I am committed to absolute physical purity, and I was always saving my first real kiss for my wife. And no offense to the judges, but Katy Perry just doesn't understand that. What do you know? Katy Perry kissed a boy, and he didn't like it. Now, all of Benjamin Glaze's friends convinced him that as far as his commitment goes, it was still intact because Katy Perry's kiss came from somebody who wasn't really serious about it. Christians, the world does not know Christ. The world does not understand what we do for Christ. The world does not understand why we do it. So everybody in the world is going to do everything they possibly can to tempt us away from our convictions and get us to fail. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, we died with Him and were buried right along with Him too. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. We died and were buried with Christ to the basic principles of this world, including Katy Perry's lips. The first reason why Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb is so that we could be buried with Him. We go on in this text, we see something else. A second reason why Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. Not only so that we could be buried with Him, but also so that we could be buried to sin. So that we could be dead to sin. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us we Christians have two different natures inside of us. We've got that old, dead, sinful nature that we were born with. And we've got a brand new spiritual nature that Jesus gives us when we got saved. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. When you backslash your parents and text while you drive and hog the TV remote, that's your sinful nature. When you say your prayers and eat your broccoli and unload the dishwasher like your wife wants you to, that's your spiritual nature. So every single one of us Christians have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde going on inside of us. But Paul here says here in verse 3 that sinful nature we have was crucified and put to death with Jesus Christ on the cross. So when Jesus died for sin, we died to sin. That's why Paul says, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, consider, figure, reckon, count, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And folks, that's not just a mind game, it's a battle for the mind. Because right thinking leads to right living. Christians, we are dead to sin, period. Dead as a doornail. Which means we are also literally dead to this world too. And all the stupid, sinful stuff in this world. Kylie Jenner just came out with another makeup line for teenage girls. Blush colors that have names like virginity, barely legal, X-rated, and hot and bothered. Folks, in the Me Too era, that is criminally stupid. That stuff is dead to us. One of the hottest toys that people got for Christmas last year were drones. But see, most of them broke because they got smashed against the walls, they got caught in people's hair, they got stuck up in trees, or they disappeared over the horizon and never came back again. How many of y'all are glad you didn't get a drone for Christmas last year? Those things are dead to us. We are dead to the world, and folks, it's a good thing because this world is boring. Good heavens, people, chew your own arm off boring. Jake Paul has 14 million followers on Twitter. Who? Jake who? The guy's a professional vlogger. Why should we care what Jake Paul has to say about anything? Cardi B's song, Back It Up, makes me want to puke it up. You see one pornographic X-rated female pop singer, you've seen them all. Big deal. Who cares? And all those big events that everybody is talking about, nobody's talking about them. The Oscars? Are you kidding me? A bunch of self-important actors who think they're politicians giving each other awards for movies that real people don't even care about. So what? And the Winter Olympics? Folks, there's a reason people only watch curling once every 4 years. Looks like frozen shuffleboard for Norwegian janitors who really love sweeping floors. Who cares? And the NBA All-Star Game, I don't even watch the regular NBA because it's nothing but a bunch of very tall men standing around watching each other throw down dunks. Who cares? Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, this world has been crucified to us Christians and we have been crucified to the world. We are dead to that stuff. But the problem is, too many Christians a day, instead of being dead to sin and alive to God, they're dead to God and alive to sin. And too often, it starts really early. Dear Abby, I am a fifth grader, and I am a nice Christian girl, but I want to know how to get a boy to be my boyfriend. I have dropped the ball with so many other relationships before, and have lost so many guys over the years. I need you to tell me how to score with men and make things work. Please, Abby, I am so desperate. You're my last hope. Signed, Desperate in Texas. Last hope? People, she's 10 years old! She's 10. The season of Lent is traditionally a time when Christians give up things like chocolate or Facebook out of respect for what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross and surrender personal sins. But last Ash Wednesday, the Human Rights Campaign came out with an LGBT Lenten devotional book for supposedly LGBT Christians. And this is what it says. Our mission is to create a world where nobody is forced to choose between who they are, what they do, whom they love, and what they believe. Jesus said, take up a cross, die to sin, or you can't follow me. Human Rights Campaign says, forget about the cross, wallow in your sin, and you can still follow me. No. Real Christians don't want to sin freely. Real Christians want to be free from sin. Christians, what about us? We Christians do something wrong, me included. What do we say? That wasn't really me. That wasn't really me that did that. Yes, it was. It was you because you did it. Last August, Stephen Felton, Emmaus, Pennsylvania, was on trial for holding up a string of gas stations all throughout the Lehigh Valley. And multiple security camera footage like this one showed he was the one that was actually pulling off the jobs. But do you know what he did when he got into court? He claimed that wasn't him robbing that gas station. It was an evil twin that just looked like him. Nice try. Christians, we don't have an evil twin that is sinning instead of us. That's just that sinful nature that's sinning inside of us. And even though that is not who we really are in Christ, because that sinful nature is still ours, we're still responsible for it. That's why Paul says, Romans chapter 6, verse 2, Christians, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, I can explain why we Christians live in it any longer. Last July the 4th in Chisago County, Minnesota, there was a dead bear laying off to the side of the road on Highway B. And before the meat wagon could get there to pick it up, it was causing a traffic jam because people were stopping their cars and getting out and taking selfies with that dead bear. One lady even tried to give it CPR. It's a dead bear, people. Do you have any idea what that thing could do to you if you revived it and brought it back to life? And Christians, we've got to realize exactly the same thing is true with our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is dead. So for crying out loud, quit trying to revive it. Do you have any idea what that thing could do to us if we brought it back to life? And I know there's some Christians listening to me right now and you're thinking, Kevin, I'm sinning. I'm drinking. I'm partying. Nobody knows about it. I'm getting some on the side. But it's okay because it's not causing me any problems. 12-step programs would call you one of the yets. Because you haven't lost your job yet because of it. Haven't lost your wife yet. Haven't lost your husband yet. You haven't lost your kids yet. You haven't lost your friends yet. But see, all those yets are still out there waiting for you. They just haven't happened yet. But they will. Christians, listen to me. Sin always takes us to places we really don't want to go. It always keeps us there longer than we really want to stay. And sin always costs us more than what we really want to pay. Don't believe me? Just ask him. Baseball phenom Josh Hamilton had one of the greatest comeback God stories of all time. Picked number one in the 1999 Major League Baseball draft by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, sports writers said he was going to be one of the greatest baseball players of all time. But in 2001, he went on the DL, started hanging out in tattoo parlors, snorted his first line of cocaine, got addicted, got kicked out of baseball. For the next 5 years, lived in crack houses and psych wards and emergency rooms with his heart jumping out of his chest. Multiple suicide attempts. But then in 2004, during a temporary bout of sobriety, he married his wife, Katie. But then after the birth of their first daughter, he abandoned his family, snorting enough cocaine to kill an elephant and drinking a gallon of Crown Royal every single day. Then in October of 2005, he decided and realized he had destroyed absolutely everything he ever loved or cared about, got down on his knees, confessed his sins, received Christ as his Savior, and got saved. 2006, after 8 trips to rehab, and by the grace of God, he got back into baseball with the Texas Rangers and absolutely exploded. 5-time All-Star, 2010 American League Most Valuable Player, led the Texas Rangers to 2 straight World Series appearances in 2011 and 2012, hit a home run the 10th inning of Game 6 in the 2011 series to almost win it all for the Rangers. 2012 became only the 16th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 4 home runs in one game. Sports writers said he was a lock for the Hall of Fame. And the Texas Rangers thought so much of him, they hired a special coach to do nothing but be his personal accountability partner and to literally live with him 24/7 when he was not with his family. To make sure that he went to church, to make sure that he made all of his 12-step meetings. To hold on to his money, to play cards with him and watch movies with him in the hotel rooms when the team was on the road, anything to keep him away from the booze and the drugs. But in February of 2010, Josh Hamilton jumped off the wagon and got drunk at a bar in Arizona. Then in February of 2012, he went on a cocaine bender at a bar in Austin, Texas. So in 2012, the Texas Rangers traded him to the Anaheim Angels. But all the binging was destroying his talent, and his body was starting to break down. Ligament tears, hernias, spasms, sprains, had surgery on his back and on his shoulders and on his wrists and on his knees. He was a walking mash unit. Josh Hamilton's batting average dropped 50 points. He couldn't throw anybody out on the base paths from outfield. 2014 American League Championship Series, he went 0 for 13 at the plate. And then before the start of the 2015 season, he went on another cocaine binge. And his wife divorced him and took his kids away. So the Angels ate $68 million of his contract just to get rid of the guy. August of 2016, he went back to the Texas Rangers for pennies on the dollar. But there were more binges and more injuries. The next 2 years, he didn't even play 50 games and had the 12th surgery on his knee. So at the end of the 2017 season, the Texas Rangers finally got rid of Josh Hamilton too. And as of last Tuesday, even the people who love Josh Hamilton the most don't have any idea where he even is. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, the way of the sinner is hard. Good heavens, people, what could have been? And how in the world does a Josh Hamilton go from being Babe Ruth 2.0 to a total bust in 12 years? I'll tell you how. One bad choice, one little compromise at a time, every single step along the way. There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon, Christians. How in the world did you go from where you started out to where you are right now? I'll tell you. One bad choice, one little compromise at a time, every single step along the way. And in your wildest nightmares, you could have never imagined that you would be doing the things that you are doing now. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, if you live according to the sinful flesh, you will die. You either kill that sin or it's going to kill you and everything you love and everything you care about. But listen to me, you do not have to make the same mistake that Josh Hamilton did. And ruin everything that God gave you. You come back to Jesus Christ right now and you stay close to Him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross and was buried in a tomb so that your sinful nature would die and stay buried forever. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. It's not just a suggestion, it's a command. The second reason why Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb is so that we would be buried to sin. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. Not only so that we could be buried with Him, not only so that we would be buried to sin, but third, so that we would be buried to slavery to sin. So that we would be set free from sin. And to understand that, you need to understand the problem that we have. Galatians 5:17 says that old, dead, sinful nature and that new spiritual nature inside of us are constantly battling it out for control of our lives. And even though that old sinful nature was already put to death on the cross with Christ 2,000 years ago, it doesn't die easy. And it keeps coming back like a zombie on the walking dead. So every single one of us has a new spiritual nature, but we also have that old dead zombie nature. And the reason Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb is so that old zombie nature would be buried forever and that new nature would be set free and live forever. And Christians, don't tell me that we don't need to be set free. Because every single one of us is addicted to something that takes away the pain. Aren't we? And it's starting to take over your life. Isn't it? Maybe it's the bad food that you eat. Like bacon stuffed bacon wrapped with bacon. Maybe it's that Facebook addiction that is sucking all the time out of your life. Maybe it's that video game cocoon that you crawl into 5 or 6 hours a day. Maybe it's that glass of wine that you have 5 times a day. Just like breathing, you can't live without it. Last February the 23rd, 37-year-old Rolando Ortiz from Chicago, his little 2-year-old boy Mateo was playing in the living room. He was sleeping on the couch. Little boy woke him up. That man grabbed the knife and slit that little boy's throat so bad he cut that boy's head off. People, that's what you call an anger problem. And it cost that man his little boy and the rest of his life. Christians, let me ask you this morning, what is your anger problem going to cost you? After you had your knee surgery, the doctor gave you some OxyContin, and now you're hooked on it. And that monkey on your back has grown into a 500-pound Western lowland gorilla. And when you found out that heroin was cheaper than the pills that you buy, you turned to smack. You say, Kevin, how do you know that Christians can be addicted to heroin? People, I don't just know it, I've seen it. You know what your typical heroin addict looks like today? He doesn't look like a bum. He looks like him. Or he looks like her. There's Christians listening to this message right now. Maybe he looks like you. You say, well, Kevin, I'll just go to rehab. Okay, rehab will get you clean for a while, but rehab won't keep you clean. You need Jesus Christ to set you free from that sin. Here at Fox River, we don't preach condemnation. We don't preach tolerance. We preach deliverance. Jesus Christ can set you free from those sins. There's Christians listening to the sermon right now, right here in this room. You're addicted to porn. Only 3% of men in the church today say they never look at porn. 3%. 1 out of every 3 women in the church today is addicted, as are 2 out of 3 young people in the church. So you're not alone. Every time you have a bad day at school, every time you get dumped by a boyfriend, every time you fight with your wife, every time your husband starts working too much again, every time your wife has another baby, every time you're bored or tired or stressed or lonely, there's always porn to make it all better. Isn't there? And you know it's wrong. And every single time you use porn, you swear to God that's going to be the last time until the next time. And your wife is sleeping in the spare bedroom because she can't stand to be close to you. And you can't tell anybody about it because everybody knows good Christian girls can't possibly be addicted to porn. And you hate yourself so much and you are so ashamed and you are so tired of trying to keep it a secret. You want to die. And you think that God hates you and you think that God has abandoned you and you start thinking about your life. This is going to be it. It can't ever get any better than this. God can't ever set me free from this. Listen to me. Absolutely He can. God can give you victory and kill that thing off, but you've got to fight it off every single day. Genesis chapter 4 verse 7, sin wants to have you, but you must fight it. The cure for addiction, any addiction, I don't care what it is, drugs, drinking, porn, pills, for men and women both, the cure is to cut off the source, replace the bad stuff with good stuff. Find some good people to be accountable to and get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. You don't just try to be free from the sin. You get close to Jesus and He will set you free from that sin. So fight. God hasn't abandoned you. If He has, you wouldn't even feel guilty about it anymore. And that struggle that you feel inside is not a sign that God has left you. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit is still with you and fighting for you and fighting in you to set you free. So fight along with it. And you say, Kevin, I feel like a loser. I feel like a pervert. I don't care how you feel about you. The only thing that matters is what God says about you. You are a child of God. And you are not controlled by the flesh. You are controlled by the Spirit. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You're not breaking down. You're breaking through. So fight. And don't you ever, 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 ever give up. You say, but Kevin, it's not easy. God never said the fight would be easy. He just said the fight would be worth it. But Kevin, it's hard. Yeah, freedom is hard. What's easy is enslavement. But Kevin, I'm tired. I don't care if you're tired. You don't quit when you're tired. You quit fighting when you win. You know what it's like to quit. Let's see what happens when you don't. That dead sinful nature was put to death 2,000 years ago at the cross. It's stinking to high heaven. It's destroying your relationship with Christ. So for the love of God, fight it. Kill it off. Put it to death. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. And what's the biggest reason why we should want that freedom from sin? Last Thursday, March the 15th, Florida International University in Miami, Florida. A 20-year-old college student named Richard Humble was getting a ride back to class from his friend, 20-year-old Alexa Durant. And they were stopped at a red light right underneath that big pedestrian bridge that was installed just last March the 10th. And as they were sitting there waiting for that light, all of a sudden they heard this horrific groaning sound. They looked up and that bridge was falling right on top of them. And without even thinking twice, Alexis Duran reached over and pushed Richard Humble down on the floor of that car as 950 tons of steel and concrete came crashing down. There's the car right there. Richard Humble survived. Alexa Duran was crushed to death on top of him. And this is what Richard Humble said. When you're buried with somebody who gave their life for you, it really changes your life. Like, I want to live my life right from here on out for the sake of the person who died for me. Christians, 2,000 years ago, we were buried with Jesus Christ. So why aren't we doing everything we possibly can to live right for Him who died for us, for Jesus? And Christians, what happens when we don't do that? Sue and I got our little dog Rocky back in 2003, when he was only 3 months old. And because we live right next to the Daytona Speedway, Highway 71, and because the last dog we got was killed on Highway 71, we decided that was never going to happen again. So before we ever got Rocky, we fenced in a part of the backyard behind the house, behind the parsonage, so Rocky would never ever be able to get down to Highway 71. And he's been told over and over again he's not supposed to go down to the road. So he knows he's not supposed to. And even though over the years we have left the gate open a couple of times accidentally and he has gotten out, he has never gone down to Highway 71. And because of that, even though he is not car smart because he's never been around them, he has survived for going on 15 years now. And we love that little dog with all of our hearts. Little twerp. And even though he's old now and sleeps most of the time, once in a while he still likes to go outside and do his business. So every once in blue moon, when I got a moment, I'll take him out with no leash and we go out to the back 40 where the burning barrel is, beyond the house. A breeder told us one time that if you always take your dog for a walk at the back of your property, if the dog ever gets loose and you're not there, they'll go to the back of the property instead of the front of the property. And we believe that. So I take Rocky out to the back and he sniffs along the fence row and does his business. If he even looks at Highway 71, I yell at him. We go right back to the backyard. I put him in the fenced in area, close the gate behind him. He knows he's not supposed to go to the road. Well, about 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday afternoon, Sue and I were putting a bunch of stuff away down in the basement. We had both the inside and outside garage doors open. We huffed and puffed for about 20 minutes, got everything put in place, and the doorbell rang. And there was a woman whose car was parked along Highway 71, and she asked me, "Do you have a white dog?" And she said, "He's not hurt, but I was driving down Highway 71. He was on the highway walking toward my car. And I stopped and got out to pick him up, but he growled at me. And I looked, and there was Rocky. Not on Highway 71, in the ditch on the other side of Highway 71, with two cars stopped in front of him. Absolutely no clue how much danger he was really in. Now, that's not Rocky, and that's not Highway 71, but you get the idea what it was like. I about swallowed my tongue. In those 20 minutes, that little twerp had gotten out through the garage, went right down to Highway 71, not only on my side, but on the other side of 71. How he ever crossed that highway without getting killed, grace of God, people, only by the grace of God. So I thanked that woman and I ran out there and Rocky saw me. He started walking toward me in front of those two cars with cars coming still in both directions. So I yelled and he stopped as one car whizzed right by. He made it over to my side of the road, and as we were walking back up to the house, he made another attempt, another lunge toward the highway. I yelled at him again. I finally got him in the house. He crawled into his bed, slept the rest of the day. Little Rocky's big adventure. No clue that he could have been killed 100 times over. Now, Rocky is all dog. But even though he knew he wasn't supposed to go to the road, he did it anyway. And thank God I was there to call him. And he heard my voice and he listened to me. And he came back to the house where he was supposed to be. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon, Christians. You know very well that God has given you boundaries because he loves you with all of his heart and doesn't want you to get hurt. And you know very well that you're crossing those boundaries right now and sinning against him and wandering away. And you've never repented of those sins. You're still holding on to them and you're still doing them. And it is only by the grace of God that you are still here and you still have your wife and your husband and your family and your friends. But listen to me, you're not going to have them very long. If you let that sinful nature continue run wild and take you wherever it wants to take you, you're going to set yourself up for a lifetime of slavery, and eventually it's going to kill you. You don't let Jesus Christ bury your sin is going to bury you. 2,000 years ago, God already put your sin to death on the cross with Jesus Christ, and he already buried your sin in the tomb with Jesus Christ, so that sin would not have to affect you whatsoever. But today, you need to repent of that sin and get back into a right relationship with him before it's too late. And you can do that today because he's calling you to, isn't he? The voice of the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, telling you to come back to Christ. Thank God by his mercy. Thank God he is still calling you. And thank God by his mercy alone, you can still hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because listen to me, I'm as serious as a heart attack. You have no guarantee you will ever hear that voice again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Would you let Jesus Christ do that for you today? Let's pray. Lord, every single one of us can sing that line from that song. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And every single one of us in this church has wandered away from you. One time or another, because of one thing or another. I just ask and pray, Lord, that you would just take control of our hearts. And right now, today, you would just draw us back to yourself. Lord, I just pray for one person here, one Christian, who thinks, Lord, that they're too far, they've done too much. Lord, I pray you convince them they have not. They can come back to you. They can be forgiven. They can be restored. Come back into that relationship where they belong and where they need to be. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.